So I'm excited today to unveil for you our new vision statement and the church logo and our vision statement, our mission statement, and our core values. I want to share those with you today, and we're going to be working through those the next 7 weeks, counting today, to help us better understand where we are as a church and where we want to go as a church. Now, you might be sitting there asking yourself, Andy, why would you need that? That sounds like a business thing. Does it sound like a church thing? And I would say to you that, yes, God has given us the church a blessing that we can gather together on the first day of the week to worship Him, to glorify Him, to take communion together. But when it comes to being a healthy church, so that you and I are not just people that come on Sunday morning to worship Jesus, but that we're worshiping Him with everything that we have throughout the week as well, we need to strategize to figure out what does that look like in today's culture, in today's world, to be able to establish a church that is healthy as it grows, so that everybody has the opportunity to be on this path to grow to be like Jesus. And so with that, we took several people, we got in a room, and we talked about the things that are going well as a church, the things that were not going so well, the things that were confusing as a church, and just try to figure out what's our strategy going to be going forward for how to become and to be or to stay a healthy church. Because as we were instructed or talked with this guy leading us through it, was that healthy things grow. And so we want to be a healthy church. We don't want just to be about, hey, a bunch of people came to church on Sunday. Wow, what a blessing and awesome thing that was. We want to be a healthy church because we know that healthy things grow. So with that, I want to share with you our new logo is maybe right there. All right. Up at the top. I'm not going to break it all down for you. James Trumbull is in advertising and he helped do that. And he does a much better job to me. OK, but the most important thing I want you to see about that church logo at the top or that logo right there is that what's in the center of it? Cross. And who died on the cross for us? Yeah. So we are on a destination, Jesus. Destination, Jesus. We're on a destination to be like Jesus, to walk with Jesus. All things destination, Jesus. Now, that came up because we live, in case you haven't noticed, a tourist area, right? We all make fun of them. We call them what when they come up? The Fudgies. Yep, you were pretty quick with that one, right? And we don't always talk real kindly about the Fudgies. We talk about the traffic and how they don't know how to drive. I'm still looking for that good driver. Everybody else is always the bad driver, right? And so they come up and we make fun. But the fact is that we have 125 million visitors to this area over the course of the year. 125 million people will come up. And you know how much money they'll spend? $25 billion. So next time you see a Fudgy and you think they're not driving very well, instead just look at them and say, thank you very much. All right? Right? So we can make fun of them all we want, but let's face it, it helps the economy. But anyway, the other aspect, and we have this beautiful area. We all know it. We have Torch Lake. And especially on 4th of July, apparently everybody likes to go to Torch Lake. We have Torch Lake. We have we have the Cherry Festival, of course, the Trout Festival. We have these streams and rivers people like to go fishing in. In November, they like to go kill Bambi. We have all kinds of awesome stuff to do up this way, riding snowmobiles. This is a destination place where people enjoy coming and hanging out. And they come in droves, and we appreciate it when they come. Now you will, because you know how much money they spend. But we wanted to tie in that whole aspect of the destination, because we are one. The North Country Trail goes from Vermont to North Dakota, but Michigan has the most miles of the North Country Trail in it. Did you know that? 1,150 miles of hiking that you can do it. I think I've done half of a mile, maybe. And I'm not even sure I was on the right trail. Right? 1,150 miles that you can go through the North Country Trail. And part of that, of course, comes through northern Michigan and up into the UP. This is a destination place. So we wanted to tie that whole idea into northern Michigan being a destination. But we want everybody to know that comes in contact with our church or with you and I when we're outside of the four walls of this building that we are also on a destination. And that destination is Jesus. That destination is Jesus. Isn't it awesome to know that we have something that we are living for and that we're looking forward to when this life is over? Doesn't that give you peace and hope just knowing that regardless of what happens with this world in which we're in, because I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, when this life is over, I've got a place to be and it's going to be for all of eternity. It's just an amazing thing to think about. And so that's what we want our message to be. And we want to dive into that first part today. We're going to bring up another slide that has our vision, our mission statement also. Yes, There you go. So Destination Jesus is our vision. Our mission is believe, belong, become. That may sound familiar. We'll dive into that next week. And then our core values that were there they are. Unceasing prayer, unchanging truth, uncommon unity, unrivaled hope, unrelenting compassion. What I hope to do, I'm going to use this cliche term that's been out there for a few years called, we're going to unpack that over the next several years. Have you heard that before? I'm going to say that a whole bunch, okay? I'll have to put a quarter in the jar every time I use it. We're going to unpack those things over the coming weeks so you can understand what this whole vision means for us as a church and the direction in which we're going, okay? That's kind of the journey that we're on. But remember, Destination Jesus. Everything's going to be pointing to Jesus. Now, I had my friend Joe Slonecki give me his let me borrow his backpack for today. And if you've ever gone on the North Country Trail, of which, again, I don't think I ever have, maybe a half a mile. But if you've ever been on a journey where you've backpacked and maybe hiked and you spent more than one day, it wasn't just a day trip where you take a bottle of water, but it was one of those trips where you had to take a backpack. What are the things that you might take? Joe is... I think if I took this apart, I wouldn't get back together again. So anyway, so he's got some rope there. Rope's important. We got some hiking shoes. We got the backpack itself. Most people would take some kind of sleeping thing, like a sleeping bag or maybe a hammock that they could tie up. We would take probably a compass so we knew where we were going. We might also take some matches or a lighter because, of course, fire is probably one of the most important things that you can have access to as you hike. And so we take all this equipment, and why do we do it? Because if we get out there hiking, we get out somewhere in the middle of the night and have nowhere to put nothing to have shelter over, nothing to eat or anything else, chances are it's going to be a miserable existence that we live while we're hiking. Now, Joe told me one day he went hiking for 30 days and he said, imagine what I smelled like after 30 days without a shower. And I thought, no, I really don't want to do that. And he was telling me about the mound of dirt and all kinds of things, right? But some people do that kind of thing. But we know that when you take that kind of journey, you're not going to do it unprepared. You're going to do it with all the necessary equipment that you need in order to be able to survive. You have to have food and water and shelter and a compass so that you know exactly where you're going. As we start to unpack this Destination Jesus, it's important for us to know what are the tools and resources that we need so that when we are living life on this journey to reach this destination, Jesus, that we are fully equipped to be able to handle that. Now, Lisa and I went hiking and we were in Alabama back in late February, early March. And this is what we looked like before the hike. Nope, sorry. Yeah, that's what we looked like before the hike. And if you go back to that picture with the house, go back to that other one. Yeah, so this is the lookout where we were parking the car. Okay, and I took a picture because I thought the people that built that house were nuts. Because I think, man, how many kids would you lose? I mean, that just seemed like, well, we thought we had four kids, but yeah. But when I was looking over there, what do you think that I was thinking? Because we were going hiking, looking for a stream or a waterfall. What do you think I was thinking as I was looking at that house? It's way down there where we're going to go, right? And so we started to hike, and we started to go, and we just had, I like had my backpack. I think that picture had the backpack. I think I had two bottles of water, and I think I had some like sweatpants or something just in case it got cold. I don't know. We were in northern Alabama in Fort Payne. We had an Airbnb. It was beautiful, and we thought we're going to get up and go hiking. So we go to this place. We look over. We see this house. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. Let's go see the waterfall. And then we look down, and sure enough, I mean, we had to walk sideways sometimes. You know how you do that with your feet so that you don't slip and fall? And we finally got down there, and I think there's another picture. There's what we found. Doesn't really look like a waterfall, but anyway. But it was very beautiful and very nice. But what do you think the next thought was when we got down to the bottom? Yeah, man, that's what stinks about hiking, isn't it? I mean, come on. Someone throw me a bone here. We walked all the way down, and then we, of course, had to go all the way back up. And on the way up, I don't mind telling you that we stopped several times to catch our breath and to take some water. And we did not look like that first picture when we were done, but I promised my wife I would not show that picture. So we didn't have that one, right? But here's the other thing about going on journeys. And when you're trying to reach a destination, is that there's some difficulties that come in. You may have in mind, I want to get down there. I want to see that. But along the way, there may be some slips and some falls. You may need some walking sticks. You may need a partner to hold on to. Lisa did not like that part of it, that I was holding on to her as I was falling. But it's important to understand that the journey doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth, even though the destination you're heading for is a wonderful place. And climbing back up and maybe getting back on the path that you want to be on can sometimes is very challenging. And sometimes just the path itself, the Bible tells us that it's narrow, the path that leads to eternal life. So we're going to take a look at John chapter 14 today, all right? John chapter 14, I would advise you to look it up either in your Bible or your Bible app, because I'm going to have some friends help read it for us, okay? And so we're going to start with John chapter 14, 1 through 4, but not yet. Let me share something real quick. Here's the context of John chapter 14. In John chapter 13, Jesus did this amazing selfless act in that he did what? Anybody know? Washed the disciples' feet. Very good. Yeah, he washed the disciples' feet. This is like the time that Jesus is going to go to the cross and die for you and me. And knowing that's about to happen, he still took the time to wash his disciples' feet. And he told them, you need to do as I'm doing. You need to wash each other's feet. That was his instruction. He had this interaction with Peter. And Peter's like, you'll never wash my feet. There's no way. You're my leader. And Jesus said, well, you can't have a part of me. And Peter's like, okay, then wash all of me. And Jesus is like, no, that's not necessary. And he has this teaching opportunity with Peter. And he tells Peter he's going to deny him. And all these things are happening in John chapter 13. And then when we turn the page to John chapter 14, he's still speaking with his disciples. All right, he's still speaking with the 12. And he's instructing them. He's trying, getting ready to encourage them. But in John chapter 14, he says some really important things, and especially in one verse that'll be our core verse when it comes to Destination Jesus. Okay, so let's fire up John 14, 1 through 4. All right, I think this is what she's saying. Are you ready? let's go. Okay, all right, I tried. All right, Colin, sorry about that. You did a wonderful job in the, what? We got it? Okay, go ahead.
Let no your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I got to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going.
All right, Jesus, there you go. Give her a hand. She's not going to be my best friend for a while. So Jesus, again, he's talking with his disciples. He's trying to encourage them. He's letting them know that he's going to his death. He's going to be turned over. He's going to be crucified, and that this has to happen. He's telling about the resurrection. And he says to them, he's like, but don't be troubled by this. Now, you'd have to think the disciples are going to be troubled anyway, because when you hear your best friend is going away, it's just kind of I don't know about this. But Jesus is trying to encourage them, give them some peace and hope, and say, don't let your hearts be troubled. And what does he say? He says, believe in God. Believe in God. And then he goes on to let them know, hey, there's plenty of rooms in my Father's house. I don't know if that's a literal mansion that we're going to live in, or if that's a figurative speech that Jesus is using. But he basically is saying, anybody that wants to follow me, there's a place for you. Giving worth and hope to the destination that we know of as Destination Jesus. That Jesus has plenty of room for all of us. It's not a foot race where we have to elbow the person next to us, hoping that they sin a whole bunch and fall away from Jesus so that I can get in. That's not how it works. There's room for all of us, and that's how he's encouraging the disciples. And so we need to believe in God because he is the ultimate destination. We need to believe in God because he is the ultimate destination. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. And why? Because he's got a place that's got plenty of room for everybody to be there. And everyone that does believe, or one of his children, will be able to be there with him. In Revelation 21, if you're just kind of wondering what this place might be like, or where we might learn a little bit of something about what it will be like, in Revelation 21, It says this, I saw the holy city. This is John the Apostle who's been given this revelation from Jesus. He says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. The most important thing, and really the bottom line of Destination Jesus, is that for all of eternity, we get to reside with God. God with us. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to who? Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When we are in eternity with God the Father, Jesus will be right there at his right hand as well. And when we're on this destination, Jesus, we need to keep our eyes firmly focused on him. We don't have to let our hearts be troubled. Yes, there will be trials that we have to face, and our journey could be long. It may be easy sometimes going downhill, but it may be tough coming up on the other side of it. But it's okay. Why? Because we're on this destination to be with Jesus for all of eternity. And so Jesus was comforting his apostles, and we know through Hebrews, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We have people that have gone before us that have paved the way to show us what it looks like to live according to what God created us to be and who he created us to be. And we need simply to follow him and we'll reach that destination. All right, let's look at John 14:5-7.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
All right. Now in there, yes, give Ari a hand. John 14:6 is that key verse. That key verse for all things Destination Jesus, where Jesus simply said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Right? Thomas said to him, he's like, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, oh, Thomas, you ever have one of those moments where you just put your foot in your mouth? Yeah, you have, right? We've all had those moments where like, oh, I want those. Take, for example, announcement time today, where you wish you could have those 5 seconds back, right? We say things, we stick our foot in our mouth, and we're like, oh, I don't want that to get out there. Think about Thomas. Now, we know Thomas because when Jesus resurrected, he met with the disciples, but Thomas was missing. And then the disciples were telling him about seeing Jesus. And what did Thomas say? I don't believe you. I'm not going to believe it until I touch the scars in his hands and in his feet. I'm not going to believe you. What does that tell us about Thomas? He knew where they put the nails, even though disciples had scattered, right? He's like, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. And so Jesus appeared to Thomas and he said, go ahead, take a look. There they are. And Thomas bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. And he said, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. You have to think that Thomas wished he could have that moment back where he was feeling about this big. But for the rest of us, we're glad that Thomas said it so that we could have this wonderful piece of scripture in John 14:6 that we could shape our whole vision around, where Jesus simply says, you want destination, Jesus? Let me tell you how it works. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to that destination that we're heading for except through Jesus. Period. Period. It's the non-negotiable of the Bible. There is no other way to be in that place where we want to be, to reach that destination, except through the blood of Jesus. And he goes on to tell Thomas, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. All right, so point number two is follow Jesus because he is the only path. Follow Jesus because he is the only path. Here are the 7 I am statements in the book of John. Are you ready? The I am statements found in the Gospel of John. These are Jesus saying these, of course. Jesus said, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. He said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. He said, I am the door in chapter 10, verse 7. I'm the good shepherd in chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. I'm the resurrection and the life, chapter 11, verse 25. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, as we just read in verse 6. And I'm the true vine, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, as we're on our destination, and you think about the different obstacles that you've had to face along the way to be on that journey, to be on the right path, to head toward that destination, is there anything that Jesus isn't that wouldn't help you through those moments? Is there anything that we're lacking in our Heavenly Father, in our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that would help us get to that destination? No. Sometimes we need trained. That's what a good shepherd does. Sometimes we need fed. That's what a good shepherd does. Sometimes we lose direction and we don't know how to get where we're going. Jesus says, I'm the way. And he says, I'm the door also. Sometimes we need sustained with this word. And he says, I'm the bread of life. There's nothing that we need on this journey to reach that destination that Jesus Christ doesn't offer to us. Nothing. He is the way, the truth, and the life. All right, let's look at the next few verses.
Said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Philip, however, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father, and that the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves.
All right, let's give Brooke a hand. When we're on this destination, Jesus, we need to know Jesus, because knowing him is knowing God. Knowing him is knowing God. Now, you would think that Philip may have learned something by Thomas blurting out something that was on his mind and wishing that he could take those words back, that maybe Philip might want to maybe process a little bit before blurting out his question, but he doesn't. And Philip blurts out his question. He's like, how can we know the way? How do we know the Father? How can we understand who the Father is? And Jesus says, oh, Philip, have I been with you so long and you still don't know who I am? It can take a while for us to truly understand who Jesus is. Even though he laid it out for the disciples, they had to wrestle with those things. And so I know that it takes some wrestling for you and I to come to that point of really understanding who Jesus is, really understanding who God the Father is and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and trying to understand all of those things. But Jesus spells it out for us when he's like, how can you not know who I am? Let me lay it out for you. And here are some other verses that will help back up what Jesus claims and what Jesus says about being God. In Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin, Mary, of course, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 20:28, Thomas answered him. After again, Thomas was shown Jesus, the scars in his hands and feet. He gets down on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. Colossians 2:9, for in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. There is no mistaking that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And so when Philip said, show us the Father, show us, then we'll believe. Show us. And Jesus said, I'm right here in front of you. How could you have been with me so long and you still don't understand who I am, Philip? So in this encouragement that he's given his disciples before he goes and is crucified on the cross, Jesus is expressing to them, I want you to take hope and encouragement. One, follow me on the way, the truth, and the life to this destination that you want to be in. One that's going to be wonderful. And one that will be no more tears, no more pain. And there won't even need to be a son, because God himself will be the son and be able to reveal and show us what's around us. And to be there, you just have to know who I am. They're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm God. And that's the understanding you and I need to come to as well. All right, let's look at John 14:12-14.
Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, This will I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
All right, give Hunter a hand there. The trail requires work, but it also offers help. The trail requires work, but it also offers help. As we're on this journey, this destination to be with Jesus, again, there are going to be trials and troubles along the way. The path is not always going to be flat and smooth and easy as we go. We all know that. But it also offers us help along the way. Like, there's an encouragement and a building up that comes when we face adversity. When we face adversity, it's not just to drag us down and help us to be discouraged. It's so that we might learn and be able to grow. Take Jesus' words in John chapter 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is what Jesus is expressing in John chapter 15. He says, guys, stick with me. Stick with me. He says, I'm the vine. You attach to me and you're going to bear much fruit. And we saw that with the disciples after the book of Acts and onward, that they did bear much fruit. Churches started. People were coming to know him. 3,000 people were baptized on the day of Pentecost. Great fruit came as people are attached to Jesus. They said, here's what comes along with being attached to a vine, is that those that are not bearing fruit are going to be cut off and thrown away. So there are those who will say, I want to attach to Jesus, or I am, but are saying, I can't handle the journey. I'm out. He said, still others, when they're bearing fruit, God's even going to prune them, cut them back a little bit so that they'll bear even more fruit. I would say that those are times where God is testing our faith. We get too comfortable. We get in this place. We're too complacent with where we are in our relationship with Jesus. And he says, listen, you've borne some fruit, but I need to cut you back because you're not as ambitious. And you're not as excited. You're not as passionate as you once were. So I'm going to cut you back so that you might find that excitement once again and be able to grow. He might say, I don't know that you're totally sold out to me. I would look at and I know we've shared this story a lot about the rich young ruler, that I think that was a pruning. Because he said, I've followed all those commandments since I was young. And Jesus said, yeah, but you're lacking one thing. Your money is keeping you from bearing much fruit. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor and then come follow me. What was Jesus doing? I think he was absolutely pruning him back, saying there's something that you don't have yet. Your money is your God. You need to let go of that and attach to the vine more firmly so that you can bear much fruit. I don't know if that's a great analogy, but that's the idea. Oftentimes we have things that are keeping us from staying faithful and true to the path that leads to righteousness, and that is destination Jesus. And God wants to test us in that, to help us know, are you all in or are you not all in? Because only those who are all in will eventually get in, right? Ephesians 2:10, I love this verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're not saved by good works. We're saved in order to do good works. And when we attach to the vine, which is Jesus, those good works are that fruit that are being born for the kingdom of God. And that's what this journey that leads to a destination of Jesus looks like. It's being attached to Jesus because he's the way, the truth, and the life. It's attaching to Jesus because he is God. And he even told Philip, he's like, look at the works that I've done. All right. How can you wonder if I'm even God? We can look all around us and know that Jesus is God. And we need to attach to that vine if we truly are going to reach that destination of Jesus. In Proverbs 29:18, it says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. The King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When it comes down to having a vision statement in a church, it's not that we don't have the Bible or we can't look in Scripture and say, well, there's our vision, there's our mission. Yes, I get all of that. But we need to have a vision in this culture, in this time that we are right now. And where are we going to get that vision from? We're going to get it from God's Word. The writer of Proverbs, God's given this wisdom to Solomon. And I believe what he's saying is that when there is no prophetic word from God, it doesn't give us vision and we have no place to go. And so the people perish. We have the word of God. We have the prophetic vision for where he wants us to go. And now it's a matter of being a church that understands what it looks like to be a healthy church with everybody on this path that leads to this wonderful destination that is Jesus, the one who died on the cross for our sins, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. We're heading to an eternal destination, following the trusted guide along a marked trail. And what a better way to live life. We're heading to this eternal destination, which is heaven. And we're all looking forward to it. We can't interview anyone that's ever been there, so we can't exactly define what it looks like. We can take John's words and his revelation and try to piece it together. But the fact is, I think we're going to be so blown away that we're going to be like, wow, I could have never imagined this. Of course you could never imagine it because it's God creating it. And it's going to be this wonderful place. And that's the destination that we're heading on. And he's given us this guide. His name is Jesus. And he's like, listen, follow me. Why should we follow you? Because I'm the way to get to that eternal destination. Well, what does it mean to follow you? It means to love one another. It means to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It means turn the other cheek. It means loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. All these things that are tough and challenging, but at least it's a map. At least it's a map. When we were heading down to Alabama, I had to get off the interstate. And it's not always a great thing getting off the interstate, especially when you got one eye and you're driving at nighttime. That's going to be a tough deal, right? But we're looking forward to the destination. We get there. Sometimes we're going through life and we're limping on one side and we can't see on one and we can't hear and we're trying to, how do I get to this desk? Just follow Jesus. Because he's the good shepherd. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that we could possibly need in this life, in this world, in order to reach that destination, Jesus offers. Jesus offers. You know, those 125 million people that are going to come up here this year, they're going to be sad because eventually they have to leave. We might be happy when they're leaving, right? The traffic eases up or whatever. But they have to go home. When we go to destination Jesus, guess what? We don't have to turn around and come back. We don't have to come back. It's worth the journey because once we get there, we're there. It's good. It's done. And just as Jesus says, it is finished on the cross. Our sins are paid for by his blood. When we reach destination Jesus, we can say, whew, it's finished. No more tears, no more pain, no more crying. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. And I'm hoping like crazy that we all want to be at that destination someday and that we'll be all on the same page, going in the same direction, following Jesus, the author and perfecter of life, until we all get there someday. And let's just call it right now. In 1,000 years, we're going to have a reunion for Kalkaska Church of Christ people, okay? I don't know what the calendar looks like in heaven. Let's call it January 1st, okay? January 1st, 1,000 years from today. Let's just have a reunion if God will let us do that up in heaven. And we can say, oh, you went to KCC? So did I go to KCC, all right? So that we can all just celebrate the fact that we're on this trail, on this path, leading to destination Jesus. While the worship team comes up, I want to share with you, we have these cards printed up. And I just want you to simply take one of these when you leave and put it on your refrigerator. And I'm going to ask you to, one, pray about where you are with your journey with Jesus and the destination to be with him. And where is it that you need to improve? Where is it that you need to strive in order to be more like him? But also be praying for the church as we roll out this fall a 3-year strategic plan for how we can become a more healthy church. And pray for us as we roll out, as we unpack this mission and these core values to truly understand who we are. So that's what I'm asking you to do with those. And my last request is simply this. If you are here today, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you don't know what that destination is like, looks like, what the journey looks like, and you want to be on the journey, I would love to have you on the journey with us. I would be ecstatic to be able to have that conversation with you about what it means to have salvation and what it means to head toward that destination, Jesus. And I'll be down here at the cross after the service, and I'd love to talk to you about that. All right? Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. The worship team will lead us in song. Father, we thank you for giving us a destination to have hope in and to look toward. But we also thank you for giving us the resources and the tools that we need to get there. And that's simply by way of Jesus. Father, I pray that all of us would understand that and be on this path and this journey to be like him. And as a church, Lord God, may we encourage one another. May we push each other. May we strive as one, as a family, to be on this journey to end up in that great destination where you are, where Jesus is at your right hand. And we're worshiping you and we're glorifying you and we're just praising your name for what you've done for us through Jesus on the cross. Father, if there's anyone here who hasn't experienced that journey or being on that trail, I pray that you're moving in their heart and their life right now and that you might nudge them to come forward so that we can have that conversation and they might understand who it is that you want them to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's